than at 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
He's brought us all from a mighty long ways. We are thankful for the time that the children have spent with us. We're going to do a little something for them later on.
Amen.
But however, we will miss them. They came and the whole family come right in working and giving their all. And we thank God for them.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm also grateful for the last one to leave the house, Roderick. Amen.
Right.
Roderick decided to come and spend a little time with us. He's a soldier, almost in now. In my house, the rule was when you finish high school, you either go to college, the armed forces, or the job corps. He chose the job corps. Amen. And now he decided he want to go into the military. And he's already been sworn in and everything. He's going to be going in from here.
Yes,
amen.
Bless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was the last one to come out the nest. Amen. Amen. Well, now, again, let me say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. And I've tried to think of some Father's Day stuff and prayed about it, and the Lord gave me this to bring, because I thought about the fact that there are a whole lot of fathers who are good providers for their families, make sure that their families have shelter and have all of their needs physically met. But in a lot of cases, where we're lacking is that a whole lot of fathers are not leading in the spiritual realm. Are you with me? And one of the reasons that when we go to churches, a lot of times we see children and more women than we see fathers, is not because all of the women sing them, because it's because the fathers stay home.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes to watch the game or whatever it may be. And now I want to say to every father, now you may bring your child up and be mannerable, and they may go to college, and they may have good careers and the like, but what good would it be for them to grow up and be successful in life only to die and go to hell? And it'd be because of you, your example of not leading them as the man of God. You ought to be like Joshua. Joshua was the greatest example of the father when he called the children of Israel on last Sunday together and told them to choose this day whom you will serve. But the bottom line was, he said, well, no matter what you choose, but as for me, not just by himself, and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. And we need more men to stand up and be men, not just for physical part of our families, but for the spiritual part. A lot of times, maybe it might not affect your child that's coming out, but it might affect your grandchildren later on. Amen. And so I want to say this, and it's urgent because of the fact that we are living in the last days. We've been living in the last days ever since Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And I know somebody said, well, that's a long time. But you know what? With God, 1,000 years is just like one day. So to God, Jesus just left a couple of days ago. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 24, I just want to encourage all fathers to make sure that you lead your family. Don't send them and stay home, but lead your family. Bring your family. Come with your family. Family that prays together stays together. Amen. Going. 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I say this to let us know that I don't care where you come from, who you might be, God will save you to the utmost. It doesn't matter about your background or where you come from. When we are saved, we're just saved. There's nobody in here any more saved than anybody else. You're either saved or you're lost. Are you here? In the 24th chapter of Matthew, I know you heard it before, but you didn't get it that time. Amen. Verses 1 through 6 and verse number 14, which will be our emphasis, is where we draw our subject and text. It says, everybody got it, say amen. Anybody need a little more time? All right, let's go. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon the other that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, again we come thanking you for your mercy and your grace, and we ask now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. And this gospel, thank you, Ushers, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. For a few moments, I want to talk from the subject, this gospel. This gospel. Let me begin by saying that in the world in which we live, there are many religions who are proclaiming all types of gospels, if you will. But my brothers and sisters, there is only one gospel that has the power to save even the vilest person to the uttermost. And that is this gospel. I'm talking about the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so with your prayers on this Father's Day, I want to talk on that subject, this gospel. Now the emphasis is placed on the word this because it is a word that specifies and it points to a certain something. In other words, the word this tends to stipulate, meaning there's a difference in the uses of the word this and those, because the word those is always plural, while the word this is never plural, but it's always singular. For instance, this audience is made up of men and women and different bodies, but because we are corralled in a specific place, when referring to those gathered here this morning, I would use the terminology this crowd, this audience. And so when a person uses the word this, he or she thinks automatically of a specific person, place, or thing. And so the text says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. However, because of the fact that the emphasis is placed on this gospel also suggests to us this morning that in the time of Christ as well as in our day and time, there were obviously some other religions and so-called gospels being preached. But my brothers and sisters, again, I say none of these religions or gospels will have the effect on the end times as will this gospel of the kingdom. Now, these other religions, so-called gospels, may help a person to turn over a new leaf in life, bring about a reformation. Are you with me? But this gospel of the kingdom will not only bring about reformation, but it has the power to bring about regeneration that leads to a total transformation. And that's why this gospel of the kingdom is above, beyond, and more powerful than any other gospel. And that's why Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 1 and 8, even if we are angels, preach any other gospel to you other than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Because my brothers and sisters, this gospel of good news of the kingdom is the only gospel that conveys the depth of God's love for fallen humanity. And that's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but shall have everlasting life. And so before all y'all take a nap on me, as we make our way to the text, we note that this passage is part of what we call the Olivet Discourse, because it was on the Mount of Olives where Jesus began this discourse in response to some questions from his disciples, according to verse 3. Questions was concerning, first of all, the destruction of the temple and the sign of the times and the end of the age. Now, Mount Olive is a hill directly opposite of the temple across the Kidron Valley to the east, which is a spot that affords the best panoramic view of Jerusalem. And at the base of this mountain is the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in answer to their questions in verse 4 through 13, we note that after telling them of the tribulation period and the false prophets who would deceive many prior to Christ's second coming, Jesus declared in our immediate text in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then will the end come. But the question still remains, and that is, what makes this gospel so unique? And so with your prayers, I want to lift three things from the text that you're hearing on this Father's Day morning in hope of revealing what makes this gospel so unique. Well, number one, this gospel has the power to tell folk where they are in life. Because my brothers and sisters, the activity in our world as well as the activity in our lives, it many times requires each of us to stop and ask ourselves, where am I? Because to overstate the obvious, is to suggest that in order to find out whether one is lost, you must first discover that you don't know where you are. And in the same way, in order to be saved, you must first recognize the fact that you're lost. And so somehow this gospel has the ability to tell folk where they are in life. In other words, this gospel helps us to fix our location in life. In other words, when you hear a sermon that describes your condition or situation, strangely enough, it helps to bring definition to where you are and clarity to what you are experiencing. For instance, if you hear a sermon about the woman who had an issue of blood and you can identify with her helplessness and hopelessness, you can identify with her because perhaps before your deliverance came, you too perhaps experienced some of the same feelings in your situation. And so you are able to say, that's me. Or perhaps you may hear something about the man born blind, and suddenly you become aware of the fact that there are some things that you can't see. And you begin to realize that we are all men and women born blind spiritually. And you can say, that's me. And my brothers and sisters, I believe that this revelation will give new meaning to that old hymn that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now."